but let's open up our Bibles to start off with to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, when we find it, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And sometimes I feel good, sometimes I don't, but my throat has the worst of it. And so I'm just going to try to get through it. As far as the reading another prayer letter, I'll have John Obermiller do that afterward, and then take prayer requests. And so if I'm not around for the whole service, you know why, but we still need to have good service, and we want the Lord to be here and honored by it. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so he's talking about having liberty in Christ, because Christ sets us free from the bondage of sin. And he also reiterates the high standard that God has. God has the highest standard that we could possibly imagine. You can't get to heaven unless you're perfect. Say, well, then how can I get to heaven? By Jesus Christ, because he died in your stead, in my stead. And so that's the only way we can get in, because God's standard is so high that we have to be holy and perfect standing before God. When he sees us, he sees the account of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see our sinful account. He sees us as washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Happy birthday, Vern. You had a birthday Monday?
Monday.
Amen. How old?
Old.
That old. Won't even say. Well, let's pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord a blessing on Vern and Anna and everyone else. Father, we need you this evening, and pray that you help me with, with my voice. And Lord, thank you for Vern Docks. Thank you for giving him safety on the job, giving him a good job. I pray you continue to bless him and strengthen him. Thank you for him. Thank you, Lord, for Anna. I pray you bless her and give her strength and wisdom, and decisions she has to make. Just a young lady, I pray that you would just guide her. Pray for your blessing upon her. Lord, we all need you to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we think of some, like Chris, who's at the hospital and she needs help. We pray you relieve her of her pain. We pray you give the doctors wisdom to figure out what's going on. We pray for Alan, Lord, all the tests and the ulcers and the different things that he's going through. We pray that you bless him and help him. Thank you for Jeff, Lord, that he got released from the hospital early this week, and you answered that prayer for him. He was desperate. Begging you. And thank you, Lord, that you answered our prayer. And so, Father, we pray that you continue to bless each and every one that's struggling with their health. And just pray, Lord, you'd help us get over this. This too shall pass. We are taught. And Lord, we need patience. We need your grace. We need your mercy. And I pray you'd help us as we look at this lesson. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And if you need a pen, I know we have a box of pens right here. So if anyone needs any pens, you can just put them down there and access for everybody. Thank you. All right, so the introduction text on the left side there, Biblical Standards, Walk in Truth series. This is lesson number one. The word standard means that which is established by sovereign power as a rule or measure by which others are to be adjusted. The Bible is that standard. So, as you fill in that blank, the Bible is that standard. You know, when we're talking about standards, we're talking about protecting us spiritually. We're talking about rising up to live to where God wants us to live after salvation. And so it's no wonder that we're going to cover the Bible tonight a little bit. And it's just part of a lesson. You could go so deep into it, and I'll just follow the Lord as far as how deep he wants me to go into it. But I hope that this will be a blessing to you. We do not change the Bible to match our culture. We change our culture to match the Bible. Now, we hear all the time, you know, as a missionary, you don't go into a country to change the culture. You go there to preach the gospel to them. And yes, that's true. But what if the culture is ingrained in pagan worship? Do you then say, well, we're not going to change your culture, we'll just add that pagan worship to what we're teaching them? Not at all. We teach them what the standard is, we show them what God's word says, and then the culture should, and we're supposed to, live by the standard of the Bible. So here, we do not change the Bible to match our culture, we change our culture to match the Bible. Okay? The Bible not only tells us how to be saved, but also how to live after we are saved. All right, filling in the blanks there. But also how to live after we are saved. These notes, I want you to take them home with you. So if all of a sudden you say, I've missed a bunch of blanks or I've missed a blank, I have no problem with you raising your hand and I'll get right on that and we'll get that blank filled in, okay? So, as Christians, we have God's unchanging word to live by. Some Christians have maintained a distance from the world instead of maintaining a stand on biblical standards of God's word. Maintaining a stand on biblical standards of God's word. I've shared with you this illustration before about this movie that I watched about Time Changer, where this little kid is stealing, and this one guy goes up to him and says, "You shouldn't steal. It's not right that you are stealing." And he says, "Well, why not?" And he has nothing to tell him. And this other professor in the same situation later on learns through time travel, if you don't teach people because God has said, then it's just going to slip down the wrong slope. And that's exactly what happened. And so a stand on biblical standards of God's word, okay? There's a lot of people that aren't saved that don't like what's going on in our society, okay? But we don't like it. Why? Because it's against God's word, number one, right? And then secondly, of course, it affects us and other things and so on. It is not up to God to prove to us why something is wrong, but up to us to prove that it is acceptable to the Lord. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians 5:10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 10. That word proving means tested. Okay, Ephesians 5:10. It's a short verse, great verse to memorize. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So rather than saying, well, what's wrong with that? Listen, young people. Rather than saying, what's wrong with that? Why don't you start saying, what's right with that? Right? What's right with that? Okay, so let's continue here. Things that might not be completely spelled out in the Bible because of time or culture, we must approve by biblical principles. There are 10 questions we can ask ourselves of whether can I or should I. May these lessons be a help to each Christian to be fully persuaded in his or her own mind. Okay, go to Romans 14:5 once you're done filling in. Romans 14:5. One man, Romans 14:5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay, so it's not good enough just to do it because somebody else says so. Be fully persuaded in your own mind. Because you're going to run into a lot of different beliefs and a lot of different people that have opinions out there. And so develop what God says and make it your own conviction. You must not let your conscience be your guide because your conscience will mislead you. Okay? So when you hear things like, well, just follow your heart, well, your heart is going to mislead you. By saying, well, I believe I can follow my conscience. Well, your conscience can mislead you, but God's not going to mislead you. The Bible is unchanging, and and will show you how God wants you to live. Okay, so that's the first paragraph. We got all the blanks filled in. The Bible is unchanging and will show you how God wants you to live. Ask yourself these questions if there is any doubt in your mind whether a thing is right or wrong. So number one, can you do it for the glory of God? So here's what I want you to do. I need some volunteers to read some scripture for me. Okay? Who's got 1 Corinthians 10:31? 1 Corinthians 10:31. All right, Steve, back there. And Miss Donna, would you take 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20? And Don, did you have your hand up? Would you take, and this is all on the sheet there, so that's under number one. On number two, Colossians 3:17. And then who's got 1 Peter 2:21? Okay, Jared, 1 Peter 2:21. And then who's got 1 John 2:11? Okay, Holly's got 1 John 2:11. Who's got James 4:4? All right, who's got James 4:4? Josie. And then John 15:19. I need somebody on the right side here. Who's got it? John 15:19, one verse. Anybody? All right, very good. John 15:19. That's under number four. Okay, here we go. So, number one, can you do it for the glory of God? Will God get the glory out of it? 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
All right. And then 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20.
What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God.
All right. So can you do it for the glory of God is number one. Number two, can you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give God thanks for it? Colossians 3:17.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
All right, so some good questions to ask. Can you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give God thanks for it? Colossians 3:17. Then number three, you know, years ago, there was a fad out, what would Jesus do? Remember that? Bracelets and all these different things came out. Well, number three, would Jesus do it? 1 Peter 2:21. Who's got 1 Peter?
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps.
All right, number three, what would, would Jesus do it? That's your blank here. Would Jesus do it? Thank you. Number four, is it of the world? 1 John 2:11 through 17.
But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen. James 4:4.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
John 15:19.
If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore God hateth you.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Number five. Does it have the appearance of evil? 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go there. But I'll give my voice back. I'm calling somebody up here. You appearance of evil. So number six, is it a weight on you spiritually? Hebrews 12, 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, so a weight can be something that isn't necessarily a sin, but hinders you from progressing spiritually. All right. Number seven, can you do it when you remember the Holy Spirit dwells in you? So Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:5. I knew this was going to happen. I was only going to go so far before I was going to be an irritation to you.
Voice. To read this?
2 Corinthians 5:5. I'm going to get it back here. But if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 8, that passage on number 8, Steve, and then Don, Romans 14, and anybody else who wants to take 1 John 2:28, feel free to do that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he that hath wrought us to the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Say, what does that word earnest mean? Girls, do you know what that means? What does that word earnest mean? Let's say you're selling a car. You got a for sale sign on your yard, and it's for sale, and you've got this awesome 67 Mustang, cherry red. It's up for sale, and everybody wants it, but I come on the yard, and I'm like, how much for it? And you're like, well, it's got this problem, that problem, but if you pay me $27,500, you can have it. And I'm like, well, I don't have a check with me. I'll drive by, just happen to see it. But I've got $2,000 in my wallet, and I'm going to give you this down payment, and I'll be back to give you the rest. That's what it means, earnest. A down payment. There's more to come. So the earnest of the Spirit, God has given to us. He says that in this passage of Scripture. But there's more to come. Amen? Make sense? Man, that's good. Thank you very much. All right. Number eight. Is it a stumbling block to others? Who's got 1 Corinthians 8?
I got it.
All right.
But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we not eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offended or offered to idols? And through the knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin against the brother and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend.
Okay. So, is it a stumbling block to others? Number nine, when Jesus comes again, would you like to be found doing that? Wait a minute. Did I miss part of the scripture? Read Romans.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him by the meat, I'm sorry, with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. another. For meat destroyed not the work of God, all things in meat are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh or drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth, and that doubleth his hand if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whosoever is not of faith is sin.
All right, so it's a stumbling block to others. Number 9, when Jesus comes again, would you like to be found doing that? 1 John 2:28, 3:2-3. All right, Bob.
And now we're so inviting them that we show them we have confidence and not be ashamed before them.
All right, thank you. And then number 10, is there doubt in your mind whether it is right or wrong? We just heard Romans 14:23. Twice in the book of Judges, we read, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, Judges 17:6 and 21:25. May God help us to be like young King Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, 2 Kings 18:3. All right, go ahead and turn over. All right, so lesson 1, the King James Bible. Here's what we're talking about. Standard, we're talking about asking yourself questions, all based on the Bible. So 2 Timothy 3:16, it's on the top left there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So meaning inspiration of God means divinely breathed into. We do not have a book that just contains the Word of God, but one that is the Word of God.
Amen.
All means all, any, every, and whole. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. God has kept his word preserved for us today. Let's turn to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. And I want to promote these verses to be memorized, because if you memorize these, this will strengthen your conviction in the word of God, that God has preserved his word. So Psalm 12, go ahead and turn there. Is that clock on the wall right?
Yes.
Can anybody tell me?
7:39 right now.
Okay, it's fast. 4 minutes fast. Where did the time go? Okay, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, forever. So, God has kept his word preserved for us today, according to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. So the application, since God does not change and his word cannot contradict itself, and he has promised to preserve his word, there must be a Bible where we can find his word.
Amen.
So where is it? Is it everywhere and anywhere? Or is it specifically somewhere where you can find all 66 books together that have been preserved by God? I find nowhere in Scripture where God commands me to learn Greek and Hebrew. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever tried to learn Greek and Hebrew? Mm-hmm. I wish I could speak those languages, especially Hebrew, because one day I believe we're going to be speaking Hebrew in Jerusalem. Don't ask me why I believe that. Okay, I'll tell you. Because Jerusalem's going to be the worship capital, and God's people spoke Hebrew, but God, he's not limited by language. He can give us any language he wants, but I believe we'll be able to communicate with each other in the New Jerusalem and worship God. I believe we'll be speaking Hebrew. But God has his words preserved. So where is it? Is it found in the NIV? Is it found in the New King James? Is it found in all these different versions that they talk about? Or is it in my King James Bible that was translated in 1611? By conviction. I met a missionary the other day. He came up to me and started talking about guns. And just, I mean, immediately he's like, yeah, I was a missionary in Argentina. And I said, wow, I was a missionary in Canada, and this is what I do. And we got talking, he shakes my hand, we got talking about the Word of God right away. And he says, I'm a Baptist by conviction. I said, so am I. And so we got talking about some things, and so pretty interesting, but he didn't say, you know, I'm a Baptist, I just preferred that from all the other ones. He said, I'm a Baptist by conviction. And I believe that the Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, the authorized version, by conviction, is the very Word of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Since 1952, there have been several versions of the Bible printed. These other versions have copyrights to reveal an author's own original composition, as well as taken from another manuscript other than the Textus Receptus. What does that mean? It means the received text. Okay? So, since the beginning, there was Antichrist. There was people that went against God's word. Some were rulers. Some were sneaking into the early church, as we read about in 1 John. So, there was people that were against God and against his word. We always know that the devil has always been against his word, questioning his word, and casting doubt on his word there in Genesis chapter 3, right? And so, throughout the ages, there was a received text. The Textus Receptus, okay? And then later on, other texts were introduced. They were not the received text. The churches, the believers, they did not accept those, okay? But the received text, the Bible translated from Hebrew and Greek in 1611, is the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. So here's some other verses for study. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Verses 7 through 11. Follow along as we go to these different passages of Scripture, and then I've got a couple of lines there that you can use to write some things down. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. When he's talking about commandment, when he's talking about judgments, he's talking about the Word of God. Okay? Look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. He's talking about how awesome the Word of God is. It's worth more than gold. Amen? And let's go to Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Proverbs 30, verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. So if it's not pure, then it's not God's word. Okay? You have some people that will have a translation. They say, well, you know, this part is good, but this part, I'm not sure about it. I can't imagine reading a Bible and you're reading a passage and you're like, that doesn't sound right. I don't think that's part of the Bible. And just picking and choosing what you think is the Bible, that would weaken your faith.
Yes.
And that would get you to question even the things that you used to believe if you had that kind of a Bible. But note, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure. Go to Romans 3. Okay. He's talking about what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision. Verse 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Okay, there's a reason. These Jewish people, they had a reverence for the Word of God, and they took care of the Word of God. It used to be that when the priest copied out a passage of Scripture, if he was writing out Jehovah, he would bathe before and after. I mean, they meticulously reverenced the Word of God and took care of the Word of God, and it was not something to take lightly. And it wasn't done for money. It was just done for God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick, you know. What do they call that part and fingernail? When you hit it, that it hurts on the top of the nail, you go right to the skin? To the quick, right? Because it's alive right there. You can do so much stuff to your nail, but if you hit that other part, man, you feel it. Because it's a living. And for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, if you don't have the words of God, the pure words of God, and you're reading them and you're listening to them, and if it's not pure, it's going to have a different effect. God's word is pure and it's powerful and it has an effect on us. He is able to discern. He is able to separate that which comes from us and that which comes from God, so that we don't deceive ourselves, so that we don't just follow after something that's not true. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Turn there, please. Go forward in your Bibles. Past James, verse 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19 through 21. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what do we learn from these verses regarding Holy Scripture? What are some things that we learn from that? What? God's word is pure. Okay? Write that down. If that's maybe God's talking to you something, telling you something different. You're like, oh, I see that. What's something else that we learn from the passage of Scripture? God's word is powerful. God's word is alive. This is a living book. That's why the devil wants to do away with the Bible. This is a living book. All your textbooks in school, no matter what textbook you have, eventually they need to be updated because they found out something else. They got smarter. Not this book. You can't. There's no versions of the Bible from 2024 on down other than the King James Bible. That you can go to and say, oh, I never saw that before. This is something new. This is, no, you don't find that. The other versions, they don't shed light on the King James Bible. They never do. What else do we learn from these passages of Scripture? Every word is pure, right? Every word is pure. God used holy men of God, right, to bring forth His word into the world. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and look at verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and I'll stop there. For the love of money is the root of all evil. If there's one thing that these other versions have in common, is they all make money. And now, in 2024, they've learned how to make much, much more money than they ever did previously. They get a publisher behind them, and people literally, they'll say, I've come up with a new version, and they have new initials for it, and they'll sell millions of dollars worth of books, and they'll profit from that. The King James Bible does not have a copyright on it.
Amen.
You can't sue me because I didn't ask for permission to read this publicly Amen. Today. You can't sue me because I put this in my message today, or I wrote it down, or if I write a book, or any of those things. No one can sue me. But if I use one of the other versions and I don't ask for permission, they can sue me. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And look at verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Okay, now that's a very, very serious charge, because the lost suffer the plagues of this book. I am convinced by these two verses that lost people are the ones that tamper with the word of God. And God shuts it down, says they don't have an opportunity to be saved. Okay, look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's an interesting thing. This is not the study today, but the book of life. Some people say, well, your name gets added to the book. Well, in a sense it does, but there's other passages of scripture that seem to indicate that all our names are there, but they get taken out if you reject Jesus Christ as personal Savior, but they're in there if you accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And so it's not as plain and simple as in out in if you do the study, okay? But I'm simply saying this. If you're adding to the words of God, God has a severe punishment. Read the book of Revelation and you find out you do not want to be in the tribulation period when the stars are falling from the sky and killing people. And that's not even half of it. But he also says if you take away, if you subtract from the word of God, then you will be subtracted from eternal life. You will never have eternal life. Pretty serious charge, isn't it? Okay? What does that teach us? Do not mess with the Bible. Do not add to the words of God. Do not take away from the words of God. Okay? Now, lost people tamper with the Bible and try to gain fortune and fame from it. Two examples. Mr. Brooke Westcott. I put Mr. because Brooke sounds like a woman, but he's not a woman. Mr. Brooke Westcott and Mr. Fenton Hort, they lived in the 1800s. Two men involved in witchcraft. These were not holy men of God. Two men which denied the resurrection of Christ. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 15:12 through 17 basically says that if you don't believe that Christ is risen, then you're dead in your sins. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, we'd all be in our sins, we'd all go to hell. But the Bible says he rose from the dead, so therefore we will rise from the dead. 1 John 2:22 and 23 says, if you deny the Father and the Son, you don't have eternal life either. So if you deny what we are taught about the Father and the Son, you also don't have eternal life. That tells me these two men were lost men. Okay? Now, two men which deny the resurrection of Christ, their work should have been condemned by all, and it was by believers. It was. I have books in my library by those that refuted them and said, these guys are shenanigans, it is false. But there's people that swallowed up what they did. What did they do? They worked on the New Testament Greek manuscript and claimed theirs was better, but in reality it was polluted. Okay? So they came up with something. Okay? And they said, well, you know, we found some manuscripts in a Catholic garbage can where they were never used, and they found some, but they were old. They were old. So some polluted manuscripts, and they went and they compared and said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to translate the best of our ability, and they called it a critical text. Okay? So Westcott and Hort, two men, in the 1800s and 1881, they published these manuscripts that they had done. Now remember, they were into witchcraft. They were ungodly men. They said, here you go. This is our work. And some said, have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it. The believers, the strong believers, the strong churches, have nothing to do with it. But the worldly picked it up. And guess what happened? All of the English New Versions, not the King James Bible, they come from the polluted manuscripts of these two ungodly men. Are you following? Pretty serious, isn't it? Especially after what we just read in Revelation 22. So, let's continue. You got the last plank there, but in reality, it was polluted. The work of Westcott and Port was polluted, and it's ungodly. They took things out. They added things. They switched things. They took away a lot of things from the, what they said. This is the original text. It wasn't the original text. Number one, what does inspiration of God mean? Okay, in simple terms, God breathed. God breathed. Okay? So when God speaks, they're holy words. They're pure words.